We're going to be talking a little bit today about liberty. In a few weeks, we're going to take up a special offering, leave us the 24th, and it's our annual religious liberty offering. Does anyone know what parole means? Public Affairs and Religious Liberty. It's a department of the General Conference, and it's charged with representing the worldwide Seventh-day Adventist Church to national leaders from around the world. When a national leader comes to the United States, you know, we have a direct it's like the political arm of the church. You know, they're the ones who represent us, who put our best foot forward. They are also the ones, they focus primarily upon promoting and protecting the religious freedom of all people, not just Seventh-day Adventist. They're there to protect the freedom of all people. You know, there was a, what happens when one person loses their liberty, their freedom? We all do. We all do. Because one by one, things are taken away that whether we realize it or not, will affect us. And as I was looking at this, I was through the gee, that's much better. Thank you, baby. I was looking at some of the things that have gone on with liberty and with the church in the past year. And the first thing I saw was on October 2nd, this headline came across. The Supreme Court is going to accept the first workplace religious freedom case in 30 years. Now, some of us have been associated more or less with workplace disputes. And it's hard to imagine that the Supreme Court hasn't heard a case like this in 30 years. And it's the EEOC versus Abercrombie and Fitch. I don't know why we're suing Abercrombie and Fitch, but there must be a good reason. Actually, I do, and I'm going to tell you why. The Adventist Church is signed on with this case and supporting this, and it's a Muslim woman was denied a job because of her hijab. It's her head covering. Why are we going to defend a Muslim? Aren't they the ones who just killed the people in Paris? Yeah? Aren't they the ones that they cut the head off the guy in a few weeks ago? So why are we defending these people? Liberty is liberty. Freedom. Every man, our forefathers knew this. In the Declaration of Independence, they put it in black and white. That all men, women included, are created with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yeah, I've heard a man mispronounce that intentionally. Instead of inalienable, he put unalienable. Well, when you put a lien on something, what happens? It can be taken away. Certain things cannot be taken away. And those three things are them. Your life cannot be taken from you. Your liberty, your pursuit of happiness. That those are things that are granted by God to all men, whatever your station in life. We feel very strongly about that as Adventists. that we desire to be able to worship according to the dictates of our conscience. And we expect the same thing, the same right to be granted to all people. So we have signed on and written a friend of the court brief to the Supreme Court asking them to consider this case. In November 2014, a New Zealand man who was fired from his job because of Sabbath observance. He was hired. He told them up front that he had a Sabbath conflict. They agreed to a scheduling. They scheduled him not to work on Sabbath. At some point, they said, oh, the schedule's changed. You have to work on Sabbath now. The New Zealand Supreme Court, I don't know exactly how they do it, but they have determined that this, believe it or not, was wrong, and that the man was awarded his back pay for the 3 years that he was out of a job. In Louisiana, an Adventist bus driver has been fired. And he is actually going to get his day in court. Now, we as Americans believe that everybody gets their day in court, don't they? In religious discrimination cases, three-quarters of the battle is getting to court. And it takes years to get to court. Generally, 2 to 3 years. If you go to court within 2 years, it's a speedy trial. And in order to get to court, you have to be fired. I hate to tell you that, but that's pretty much well the black and white of it. If you want to have a religious discrimination case and go to court, the first requirement is that you lose your job. Very few other cases get there. It has to be something really outstanding. So this man obviously has lost his job for 2 years, and now he gets to go to court and see what the court says. This is where the money goes that we're going to give in a few weeks. It's not just a one-time offering. The loose offering of the plate that day is for a religious liberty. But there's a liberty drive that lasts for several weeks. Al will fill you in on it. He is our religious liberty leader. And there'll be an insert in the bulletin that day. But the money that goes to that does several things. It funds the attorneys for this. For we have general conference attorneys who work at the GC. But when they go to court, they don't go as themselves. You know, they go and they hire a local attorney to do all the talking. Because when you go to Lynchburg and you bring a lawyer from Nashville, you don't win very much. Because those small-town judges, they don't like them big city lawyers. So you have to have a local attorney. So it costs money to hire a local attorney. It costs money to hire the big-name attorney, to sit behind the local attorney and whisper in his ear what to say and do. Everything costs. Another part of that offering is going to go to the Liberty Magazine. It's where we provide these. This magazine is to the thought leaders of our community. We try and keep it at the Motlow College. We kind it in the library, in the public libraries. We send up the lawyers, doctors, judges, mayors, aldermen, the thought and the civic leaders of our community, where they can see what is happening. You know, that some of the issues that may arise in Tullahoma or Estill or wherever aren't just local issues. These are things that will have an effect everywhere. November 24th, Forest Lake Academy. Was at a volleyball. They had a girls' volleyball tournament, and they won their games. The finals are going to be held when you think? Well, Friday evening, and they forfeited. They decided not to. Sometimes we're endowed with the freedom to make a decision. The team that they were to face when they discovered that Forest Lake had forfeited and why, they gave them the trophy, the first place trophy. They in turn gave them the sportsmanship trophy. But there's a cost to our decisions, isn't there? They don't always turn out well. December 1st, I missed this. There was 28 people killed in an ambush in Kenya. A bus was stopped by militants. People were carried off the bus, and one by one questioned. If you did not answer correctly, they took you to the other side of the bus and shot you. 8 of those people were Adventists. I don't know what the question was. Sometimes we sacrifice for our faith. In the former Soviet Union, there was a Adventist school. I don't know what the problems were, but they had been had school year, they said, was terrible. Had a bad school year. Issue after issue. Even to the point where one of the government department controlling education said they had to take Christian off the school name. It was a predominantly Muslim country. In that country, the ninth and the 11th grade sat for testing, the government testing. The 11th grade was their senior year. And imagine the surprise when the date was set for Saturday. The teacher said, no, we can't do this. They wrote a letter petitioning the government to change the date, you know, at least for them to allow them to take the test on another day. There's only a minority of the students were Adventist. Most of them were non-Adventist. So they, at the same time, they made arrangements with the public school system to allow their students, if who wanted to sign up to take the test on the Saturday when it's offered in the school system. As weeks went by, there was no answer, and more prayers went up. Finally, 2 days before the date, they received a phone call from the government office. Now, bear in mind, this is the same office that said you have to take the word Christian out of your name. And the answer was given. They said you have to come and pick up the letter. Now, there's a saying that forgiveness is easier to get than permission. And in the back of their minds, and I think they were actively planning, well, since we haven't received any direction one way or another, it may be possible for us to have this test on another day. The phone call said, now we're known. We're found out about. We have, you know, the government knows what's up. They went and got the letter. They were given permission to hold the test on another day. The teacher went to the students, told them what had happened, read the letter. No response. She thought that the kids did not understand everything that went on. She told them again. No response. Finally, a student stood up and said, we knew God was going to watch out for us. The kids had more faith than the teachers did. It's not over yet. She interviewed them, and she said, and they told her that because of the difficulties of the school year, and that God had manifested himself in through all the problems, they had no doubt that he would also intervene in something so simple as changing the date of the school test off of Sabbath. These Muslim children, all the ninth graders were non-Adventist. There was not an Adventist in the ninth grade for the test. The 11th graders were predominantly non-Adventist. in a predominantly Muslim country, they stood up for the Bible Sabbath. If you don't sit for your school exam, you don't progress. These non-Adventists stood up and were willing to put their lives and their careers on the line for God. We're also given the liberty to be a witness to others every day in our actions, even in our schools. God is working. Whatever it is that's going on, He is still on the throne. He still directs the affairs of men. So what is liberty? Went to Mr. Noah Webster, not Lutheringer. Liberty is freedom from restraint. Liberty and freedom go hand in hand. Tom, are you free? What restrains you? She's not here today. Jim, what about you? No, you're not. Gabby, are you free? There's always something that holds you in there. I'm not going to ask you that yet, Dale. I know what your answer is going to be. Sometimes it's our own mind. Sometimes our physical bodies restrain us. The pain, the hurt. You know, we're not actually restrained by our wives. It's we like to say we are, but we are not actually restrained. Sometimes, you know, we put self-imposed limitations upon us. Sometimes, you know, they're not self-imposed, but they don't really limit. They may limit what we think we can do, but didn't Paul say all things are possible? I can do all things through Christ. So is there anything that we cannot? I mean, I'm not a nuclear physicist. I can't do brain surgery. I'm not going to sit there and say I could. But if Christ wanted me to, do you think I could? There was three different types of liberty. The first was natural liberty. And it's the power of acting as one sees fit without any restraint or control except from the laws of nature. Sounds pretty good? What do you think? Would you like to have natural liberty? Without any restraint. Now, what are the laws of nature? Gravity. Laws of perpetual motion. Equal and opposite reaction. Who invented those laws? God did. Isaac Newton's given credit, but God's the one. He is the originator of those laws. Can you think of a period in time when man acted out natural law? Maddie, you're gone. Chuck's gone. Cliff, what's the last verse in Judges say? Maybe I got the wrong book. Joshua. That's Judges. The last verse in the book of Judges. What do you think? Is that good? No, it's not good. Natural liberty is not necessarily a good thing, because that's what they said they happened there at the end of Judges. Every man did what was right. See, the problem with that is the Bible tells us our hearts are desperately wicked and that we're not capable of changing them. Civil liberty, on the other hand, is the liberty of men in a state of society, or natural liberty only abridged and restricted as is necessary and expedient for the safety and interest of the state or nation. A restraint of natural liberty not necessary for the public is tyranny. Civil liberty is an exemption from the arbitrary will of others. Does anybody understand that? You've got to have a little civil liberty to protect me from the will of Nona. Because if Nona wants to come up here and speak right now, what's to stop her? It's the laws of decorum. In respect of others. And basically that's what civil liberty is. Now, is all civil liberty good? Because at some point, the laws enacted through civil liberty will trample upon the rights of the individual. And that's where our public affairs and religious liberty come in. Because the other type of liberty is what? It's religious freedom, religious liberty. And it's the free right of adopting and enjoying opinions on religious subjects and of worshiping the supreme being. Did it say God? Did it say Allah? Did it say Baal? No, it just says whatever you in your mind determine to be a supreme being according to the dictates of your own conscience without external control. You know, what you believe about liberty determines what kind of government that you prefer. What's the best type of government to live under? A republic? Do you really think so? Unlimited government? What about you, Pastor? You agree with that? Mincing words here. A monarchy. I'd vote for King David. A theocracy where God is our king. And he speaks to us just like he did it on the mountain when he gave the Ten Commandments. He spoke in the hearing of a whole nation. Would you like to hear God's audible voice? Would you like for everyone else to hear it? Are you willing to obey it? That's where the rub comes in, is are we willing to listen and obey? And that is what will happen one day. We will live and dwell forever in a theocracy where we will see Jesus face to face, and the law of that kingdom will be what? Will be love. It will be undiluted. What's the word? Help me out. I've gone brain dead. Agape. Because every other kind of love there is a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But we will live in a kingdom that's ruled by agape love. The loves, regardless of what comes back. That no matter what you can do for me or you can't do for me or you will or you won't, I'm going to love you. And I'm going to respect you because you are equal. Because God, you are created in God's image. Unfortunately, there's a spiritual kingdom of that here, but it's not the real kingdom. That's the kingdom to come. So in the meantime, you say a republic is the best. Why is that? What is a republic? There's not mob rule. That's right. It's a representative form of government where the population has given a vote, given a voice, and you have a representative who expresses that voice through a government that is bounded by a constitution. The constitution is a document drawn up to describe what type of government is going to be, what it is that constitutes that government. Our forefathers were, I cannot believe how much wisdom and knowledge they had, that 230 years ago, 40 years ago, they wrote these documents that have so much wisdom. How could they know then the problems we're going to face today? Because there's nothing new under the sun. Well, they came out from under a king. Why not a democracy? Why don't you want to live in a democracy? Majority rule. Majority's not always right, is it? Majority's not always right. You know what the definition of a majority is? Two wolves and a lamb voting on what's for supper. Do you know what the definition of liberty is? A well-armed lamb contesting the vote. What constitutes a well-armed lamb? Because Bible prophecy looked at this nation. And what's the description given? A lamb. A lamb-like beast. You know, our forefathers did recognize this. When they saw the Constitution being written and it was sent out for ratification, they said, it's pretty good. But it's not good enough. So they sent it back and they said, we want some protections, individual protections added. And so there was 10 amendments that were added to amend the Constitution. They called them the Bill of Rights. What's the first one? Freedom of expression. That covers about all of it. Freedom of speech, freedom of peaceable assembly, freedom of religion. Those three things, why were those things the first? Because they had come from a land that were oppressed, that had been ruled for a time and a half, for 1,260 years by an oppressive government. They was headed up by kings and monarchs, and they honestly thought that they were there by divine appointment. Now, don't be wrong. Some of them were. Some of those men in those offices were there because of God's appointment. Where would the Reformation have been without the Frederick of Saxony? The man who protected Martin Luther. It would have stopped right there at the Diet of Worms. Wouldn't have gone any further. So some of these people are there because of divine appointment. But they all believe that. And they were all controlled by an external force who believed that they were there to set up kings and take down kings. And that everything was filtered through the eyes of Rome. Our forefathers had come out of that. And that was the first thing that they protected, was the right of speech. The Second Amendment made sure that you had the First Amendment. I'm not going to go any further there, but because if you don't have a well-armed sheep, a well-armed lamb, what's for supper? The lamb. So what constitutes well-armed? What do you think? Well, we have a lot of discussion about this at work. And there's a lot of guys there, they're shooters. As far as the political spectrum, they are outside the door. They're way to the right. One of them's a worship leader at his church. And we got to talking about, you know, where, who, what, when, and where. You know, all the capabilities that are available to search you out and find you. And I told him one day, I said, the only place, and he was telling me about these capabilities, the only place that you will ever be safe, because the time will come that we will be just like those people on the bus. The bus will be stopped, and you'll be taken out and questioned. The only place you'll be safe is underneath the wings of the angel. Psalm 91. God's not going to send his angel and hide your AK. You've got to leave your AK outside. The well-armed means abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. But what else does well-armed mean? I want to talk to the kids for a minute. Because, believe it or not, in a few years, your faith is going to mean more or less to you than it does right now. Brooke, you were hiding. Why are you here today? Mom and Dad? Yeah, come on. I was that age. Yeah, I know why you're here. You have no choice. Mackenzie, what about it? You don't have a vote, do you? You're not a well-armed lamb, are you? Is that right or wrong? Puts you on the spot, girl. Well, let me ask you this. When you ascend the throne of your own household, and you wear the crown, and you wield the sword, do you want that same? You want to inherit that same right? Do you want to be the czar, the child czar? That means that you make the rules, and the little ones follow it. Yeah. Absolutely. How about it, Brooke? That sound good? You make the rules, and your children do what? Hop and. Mama says hop. She says frog and you jump. That's what my mama used to say. I say frog and you jump. I say jump and you say how high. Pretty good. Do you want to inherit those rules? Well, then you got to support them now. Sorry, that's just one of the rules. Because if you don't, things change. There's a natural order of decay in the universe. You know, things don't get better. Things get worse. Little by little, things fall apart. And if we don't support the things that are there, then they will decay. But in a few years, you're going to be free to make those choices. You're not going to have mom and dad. You're going to be 23, 24, and you're going to be on your own. We were, believe it or not, I was that age once. We were all that age once, and we had that freedom, and we're here. But not all of us are here, are we? We have friends, brothers and sisters who did not make that choice, who chose to go another way. So at some point, it'll mean more to you, and you will be here of your own volition. Or it'll mean less to you, and you won't be here at all. But you have to remain, you have to protect the right of others to make that choice. But if you want to have that choice, we're talking about, go back to freedom in the workplace. How do you get that? How do you become a well-armed lamb? Well, part of it is through education. The better job you have, the better chance you have of not being fired on for the Sabbath. I'm just going through personal real life experience. I sat down with an attorney several years ago at the Adventist Church in Shovelville, and he told me the time will come when you will either be self-employed or you'll work for another Adventist. It is, and it is very true. The Bible says it's true. Because if you can't buy or sell, are you going to be allowed to work? And if you won't be able to buy or sell unless you agree to receive a mark. And it won't be the seal of God you'll be receiving. So at some point in this world's history, that is going to happen. In the meantime, we struggle. And the best way to ensure that you can avoid the struggle, support others in the struggle, is to be well-educated. Stay in school. To learn. I made a decision several years ago that I was forced to make a decision about my job. And I'll be honest, I made the right decision for the wrong reason. Because I made a decision based on fear. Because there was changes coming, and I didn't know what they were, but I knew they weren't going to be good. Is change good? Not always. Sometimes it is, but but I could see changes coming, and I was afraid because I knew that things were going to be happening, and it was going to affect my ability to work on Friday nights. It's going to affect Sabbath. And I started making decisions out of fear. I didn't have perfect love because Paul tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. So the other thing you got to do, a well-armed lamb, is going to have perfect love. Perfect love for God. Perfect love for each other. And you will be well-armed because the things won't affect you. You're going to make a decision, and you're going to be content with the results of that decision. Another thing, when I sat down with the general conference attorney on a phone call, he said something that really scared me. He said, you got to be consistent. Consistency, when I look back and looked at my record, I tried my best to keep the Sabbath. I'll be honest, but there was days that I just got caught out and wasn't strong enough to quit and bring it home. And that's what it takes. It takes strength to say, no. This far and no further. Compromise as long as it does not compromise principle. That's what the early church did. We read in the Great Controversy that they compromised and they compromised and they compromised. But when it came to principle, they said, this far, no further, even if it means war. Even if I lose my job, if I lose my house, if I don't have a hot shower in the morning. Are you willing to do that? Consistency. Fortunately, God doesn't demand. He looks for consistency in us, but he realizes he accepts our humanity. He takes us where we are, and he deals with us. He looks not at the individual moment, the individual act. He looks at the whole tenor of our life. That's good news. That is good news. You're going to have to make a decision. For most of us, our decisions are made. We're too old to change. Kind of hard to teach old dogs new tricks. Or we're out of the workforce. But your lives are before you. Your decision is yours. Your mom and your dad, they can bring you up in the fear of the Lord, and it's their right, by the way, to bring you to church. Whether you accept that or not, it's not their, not just their right, it's their responsibility. It's their responsibility, first of all, to God, because you're his child. You're not your mom and daddy's. They belong to God. He has given them, put you in our care to bring up and to grow back into his image. So parents have a right and a responsibility to do that. We just need to preserve this nation, because that's the only reason this nation is here. There's been a lot of discussion in the past few years about getting this nation back to God. Judge Roy Moore wanted to bring the Ten Commandments into the courtroom. Is that a good? Is it bad? Yeah. Well, yeah. Would you rather have them on 2 tons of granite? Or would you rather have them carved in his heart? That's where God said he's going to put them. He said he's going to write them in our hearts, write his laws in our hearts. So we won't have to go to the courtroom foyer and see, here it is right here. We won't have to do that, because it'll be every man will have them written there. This country's only purpose for its existence is to protect that freedom. It's not America's job to spread the gospel. Believe it or not, it's ours. It belongs to the church. That is our sole focus for being here. That's the only reason we're here, is to spread the gospel. It's the country's job to provide the opportunity to do that. So freedom is important. Dale, I'm going to go ahead and ask you now. What are you restricted by? That's right. That's natural or unnatural, because it takes an unnatural act to do that, doesn't it? I've heard you say it many times, I'm restricted by my affections. There's a law that says, you know, you won't do this and you won't do that. But if we're truly surrendered, if we truly get the gist of what God's meaning for us is, then we're restricted by our affections for our wives, for our children, for our fellow man, and for our God. That's the only restriction he puts upon us. Because one day we'll see him face to face, and all the troubles and trials of this earth will be over. There'll be no more man-made laws. Sin will not rise a second time. And we'll live in perfect peace. Let's bow our heads. Loving Father, we do thank you for the privilege of living in this country, where we do have the freedoms to come and to go and to assemble, to worship you, to spread the gospel, Lord. Help us, Father, not to let our liberty, our freedom be a stumbling block, but, Father, a podium that we will lift you up on and draw all men to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.